You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message.
I love what God is doing. This is our year, visitors. This is our year of vision. 2023 is our year of vision, and it is our year to see how God wants us to see, what God wants us to see. So much has happened. It's already the month of July, and there's so much that has happened in this month. There's so many things we've seen. I've said it in the beginning of the year, how afraid I was of this year, because I knew the power of vision. And however you see something is how you're going to live it out, period. So if you see it wrong, you're going to live out wrong. If you see a half truth, you're going to live out half truth. However, if you see what you want more than what you see what God is showing you, you're going to go to what you want. So it's been a very interesting year. I can't wait for the end of this. Well, not that I'm trying to rush the end of this year, but I can't wait to, when I do my reflection, I can't wait to the end of the year and I can really reflect with God. Because, man, do I have some conversations that I'm going to have with God. There's some things that I want to be able to share with him that is funny of what he has said and what I've seen already. And it's just July. Matthew. Can we go to Matthew real quick? Matthew 20. And while you're going to Matthew, get ready. You're going to go to Exodus afterwards. So get ready to have some fun with your Bible today if you like reading. If you don't like reading, sorry. Matthew chapter 20. You know, one thing, too, I want to preface this by saying, visitors, there's one thing that we have in here. Sometimes God uses prophecy in this church. And I'll be in the middle of something, and then prophetically, he'll just have me talking and saying stuff. Well, I'm not just talking, literally, I'm declaring what God has said. And he'll have me right in the middle of something, scripture, and he'll do that. But, it's very important to understand that when God, let me adjust, because I have these two monitors that just shot up on the inside of me. Woo! That was like Cedar Point. That was a wake up. Are we cool? And that's the safest place. So, what I was, the bank of Jesus, I would bank there. I guess I actually do. I guess we all bank there. If we go to this building, we are the bank of Jesus. That's pretty cool. I like that. I might say that to somebody. That's the first time I've heard you. I think the next time someone asks me, where do I bank? I might say the bank of Jesus. It's so important that we understand that when God says something here in the church, it's not man speaking. I can only speak about breakthrough. I'm not talking about any other church, okay? But when the prophetic happens and God is speaking, and all of a sudden he just has me talking and going somewhere, and people start talking like, oh my God, and they start having their own conversations, and I have no idea what they're talking about, but they're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You know, and God is speaking, it's important to understand that he is trying to not only confirm, but he's trying to set and assign things so that you can align yourself with his word. We don't say things just to entertain. We don't say things just to get emotions. Not at this church. Okay, there is no prophelying here at Breakthrough, specifically when it comes through me. Now, I can't say if somebody, you know, catch you in the hallway and say, hey, let me talk to you for a minute, you know, God put a word on me. That didn't come from me. Okay, so don't say that came from the church. Okay, I can only say when it comes from this individual, I have no, can I share the way I want to say it? I have no desire to have any control over anybody. Amen. I want that to come from this pulpit. I'm only speaking about Breakthrough Assembly. I have no idea. I am not one of those pastors that want to control you and want to ask you every 5 minutes what you're doing and want to tell you how to eat breakfast and what time and what cereal you should eat. And you'll never hear me say, I heard God says Cheerios aren't for you. Okay, I have no intention of that. My only intention for Breakthrough Assembly is to get you closer to God. Now, let me say that as I preface that. Those that's been here for a while, and you said, you know, some things have changed within the church. Yes, it's changed in the church. And let me say this, and I don't mean this with any ill will, okay? Those that know me, you know me. Those that don't, well, here's some offense for you. You said, you know, some things have changed and shifted in this church. And you said, you know, where is this person? Where is this person? You can't have a year of vision. And God wants everyone to see it a certain way. And everyone stays. People must at one point feel uncomfortable if it's really God's vision. I need you to hear me and hear me clear. People will say, I don't feel the same way I used to feel. They must say that. And hopefully somebody has shared that to you. Hopefully somebody that's no longer here has felt comfortable enough to share it with you to say, you know, it's not the same anymore. When God trusts you with his vision and it's your job to declare and show what God wants, that bothers the flesh. Because at one point, the flesh can agree with it for a week or two. But when you're talking about the vision of God for a whole year, the flesh doesn't want that. The flesh has its own agenda. So you have to be ready and equipped and prepared for people to say, you know what, I don't feel the same at the church that I felt before. They shouldn't, because after a while, when his beat is continually beating, the flesh says, I need to hear something else. So I want to tell you something. The church is exactly where it's supposed to be. It's doing exactly what it's supposed to do, and it's only going to get more intense.
Amen.
So buckle up, Buttercup, because I have never been more proud of where the church is right now, because it's totally, can I say this the way I want to say it? It's totally, it's finally, that's it. The church, Breakthrough Assembly, is finally mature enough to ignore those that don't want the vision of God. Without being consumed by those that don't want to aspire to the vision of God. It's finally able, mature enough to see those that you see that they have no desire at all to do what God wants them to do and can still function and do it. The church is not a young little church that it can see wrong and then be absorbed by that. There are still people, hear me clearly, still people with their own agendas, doing their own thing. My thing for you is, instead of it bothering you on their social medias, unfollow them. Instead of saying, oh, I'm going to keep praying for so-and-so because their social media, well, you wouldn't know it if you didn't follow them.
Right.
You know why pastor doesn't know what they're doing? He doesn't follow him. He's not on it. I keep telling you. But whatever. I am so better off not being on Instagram. I don't need to know. There's certain things about the members I don't want to know. There's certain things I don't need to see. Okay? I only need to see you in church outfits. I don't need to see you in I'm trying to catch a man outfit. I'll leave it at that. So what I have to talk about today, after I got out my disclaimer, we're done with that. We can move on to the good stuff. What I want to talk about today is the fact that sometimes when you get around those, okay, Lord, I see why you did that, Lord. I see what you did, Lord. When you stay around those that's not moving long enough, you begin to get a little stiff. You're pretty good at this, God. I was just talking to him. I see why he had me talking about that, to wrap it around. And you get a little stiff. When you don't move a lot, you get a little stiff. Okay. Like my job, I work from home. I work remotely. So, you know, I'm in a chair, I'm in meetings, I'm in a room. So sometimes I'll have to like not work in my office, and I'll have to take the laptop and sit in the living room for a minute. So I can feel like I've moved. Okay. And then sometimes this sounds funny. I look forward to church deposits because it gives me a reason to get out of the house for a minute to go to the bank. And so, like, in my midday, if I have an hour break from a meeting, I'll go and do the church deposit and drop off the deposit at the church. And so I get to look at people. And I'm looking. Now, they're not waving back at me. And I'm sure they think something's wrong. With me, but I wave at them, and it's my time of saying I'm interacting with people so that I don't feel, because after a while, when you're in a home all day long and the only time you see daylight is to go get the mail, after a while it begins to wear on you, and it's a whole different thing working remote. Not that I would change it, okay, Lord. Just wanted to preface that. I'm not saying I want to change it. I'm just saying that sometimes, and when you don't see people all day, I need to do things so when my wife comes home, I just don't pounce on her. Be like, hey, what you doing? Tell me all about the day. Okay. Don't answer it right now, Peter. Just look straight ahead. That was a setup. That was a setup straight from hell. No. Oh, that was real smooth, Peter. He didn't move. He didn't blink. He just looked straight. That's the way to do it, right? Man, learn from that man right there. There's wisdom. So in saying that, it's important to get this, to understanding what I'm talking about this, because when you are around people who you want to grow and they want to grow, but in different areas, and they're not moving in the area that you want to move in, there's some staleness and stiffness that comes in. There's a dilemma that happens when you start feeling like, you know what, there's something about this thing. I want to grow, and I want to grow in the things of God. But there's a dilemma when you are associating with people that they haven't said it out of their mouth, but they've said it from their behavior, that they have no intention of going any further than where they are. There's a dilemma when they're telling you, I'm not going where you want to be. They're not saying it, but they're showing it in their actions. They're showing it in their lifestyle. And it gets to a point that you have to make a decision that whose report are you going to believe? What are you going to do when you said that this person is my friend? This is my bestie. You know, they were there for me. What happens? I hear you, Lord. What happens when your bestie is no longer the best for you? What happens when your former best, I say former, because I'm trying to speak life into you. What happens when your former best friend is no longer the best for you and or a friend to you? What happens then is my question. What happens when you get stiff and you don't know why? What happens when you don't feel like praying like you used to anymore? What happens when you don't feel like reading like you used to? What happens when you don't really care about what happened in the Bible when you couldn't wait to open up the Bible at one point? What happens when pastors say, lift up your hands, and you say, no, I'll keep it in my pocket, but thank you for the suggestion? What happens when you're like, oh, it's Sunday already? All right, well, what are we doing afterwards? What happens when that becomes real? Because let me tell you something. That's going to happen. Every believer in some time in your life is going to get to a stiff point or a stale point in the things of God. Do I have any bold witnesses to say you've been there before? Listen, if you haven't, it's going to be. There's going to be a time that Bible is going to get some dust on it. There's going to be a time you're going to say, yes, I love Jesus, but do I have to do all of that? It's going to be a point, you're going to have to ask yourself, does it take all of that? Because your bestie, your best friend is going to say, oh, you don't have to do all of that, while they're still doing whatever they want to do. Are you in Matthew yet? I gave you 27 minutes to get there. Matthew 20, verse number 16. It says, so the last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen. I want to tell you something about that particular scripture. Many are called, but few chosen. So many times this scripture has been spoken inaccurately. Many are called, but few chosen. So many times it's been said in a manner that the people chose not to walk with Christ. I've even preached that many times. But when you get the shovel out, and you say, Lord, can we go a little deeper? You hit something. You ever dug, and you hit something, you're like, oh, what? I think I have something here. The last part of that, many are called, but what? I was in prayer, and God spoke to me about this when he says, dig deeper. I was like, come on. I've been pastoring for 18 years. I have done this scripture backwards, forward. I could do it in my sleep. He says, dig deeper. So I read it. He was like, dig deeper. I'm like, what? Read it again. Dig deeper. I read it again. Read it again. Dig deeper. I really don't know how many times I did it, but my flesh started to get an attitude with God. He said, dig deeper. Now I'm starting to get an attitude. Now I'm trying to fight because I'm trying to fight the attitude because I'm recognizing now I'm getting an attitude with the one that can take me out. And I didn't want my wife to get home and I'm on the couch gone because the Lord took me out. I believe he'd do that to me. Listen, many are called, but few chosen. He says, dig deeper. When I got to a certain point, he says, now what do you get? I said, you know what I get? I get many are called, but few chosen. And that's for you, you're like, Pastor, that's the same thing you said. But when you dig deeper, he says, but few chosen mean many are called, but there are few that I chose. Hold on. I'm going to get there. He says, many are called. I called. Yes, I called them. There are many people who are called by me. I called them. You're like, oh, my God, they're called. They have a calling on their life. Some of you have heard that before. That person has a calling on their life. Ooh, that baby has a calling on their life. That person has a calling on their life. Do I have a calling on my life? Oh, my God, do I have a calling? Oh, my God, do I have a calling on my life? Everybody wants a calling on their life. Oh, my God, they're called. Many are called, but the chosen a few. He says, but you know what? He says, but when you dig deeper than that and just get off of the surface, many are called. Yes, I called them. But when it was time for them to be used, I couldn't choose them. When it was time for them to operate in their calling, there's not a lot of people I could choose to do it. I couldn't choose them because they weren't ready. They had a calling, but I couldn't choose them to walk with me. This goes back to those besties and those people that you've been with. And now you're so stiff that you're called. Now, your calling is about to get activated, but yet, when it's time for you to do it, Jesus can't choose you to do it because you're not equipped to do the assignment. How many times that you're involved with something or you're doing something with somebody else, and then when Jesus wants you to do something, you can't do it because you're caught up in that mess or you're caught up with them. It's your time. You're calling for your calling. It's time, but Jesus can't use you. He can't choose you for the assignment. So, see, the thing is, you just don't want to be called. You want to be chosen. The chosen ones are the ones that Jesus can use when it's time. The chosen ones are the ones that will do it when Jesus says go. That's when you have to be ready in season and out of season. You can't have things and people and attitudes and spirits holding you back. You can't have, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't be double-minded and be part of the chosen. You have to get out of the up and down Cedar Point living lifestyle. You have to be able, many are called, but the few are chosen. You want to be one of the chosen that when he says, come on, I need you, you're like, Lord, I'm here, and you're able to do it. Instead of saying, Lord, give me a week or two because I got to work out some things. Oh, Lord, I put my mouth on some things. Oh, Lord, I'm already doing this. Lord, can I wrap it up? How many times is the Lord saying something to you, but you can't even receive it because emotionally he's ready to have you do something or forgive someone, but you're like, Lord, but I have too much anger. You can't be chosen to do the thing because you have too much anger in your heart. He wants you to do something, but you don't have the forgiveness. He wants you to do something for a person. He put somebody in your mind, but you can't do it because you haven't forgiven them yet. You can't do. When Jesus says, forgive that person, you don't know. You just think it's a forgiveness thing, but you don't know what he wants you to do later, but you can't do the thing later without the forgiveness. Amen. He needs to be able to trust us. If you want to be one of the chosen, you have to be one of the ready ones. You have to be ready. You can't be worldly and godly at the same time. Now hear me when I say this. There is a difference between godly and perfect. There is a difference between perfect and righteous. Bible calls us that we should strive to be righteous, because the Bible tells us that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. The righteous ones are the ones that esteem to be right at all times. That's our attempt. Not that we do it all the time, but the attempt. Amen. So that's like saying, for instance, the way I see it, I'm a visual person. I'm not saying this is not scriptural, so don't write me. But in my mind, I believe God grades on a curve. And so I believe, because no human being can be perfect, you know, I believe that if I die and I died about 81% right, I believe that not only that I'm going to get into heaven with a B, but I believe God's going to give me a couple of extra points for effort. It's not scriptural. It's nowhere in here about percentages. Okay, Mike would have already told you if it was. But my point is, nobody is going to get into heaven 100%. That only happened once. Yes, that will never happen again. So the point is, so we'll never be perfect. But if we're striving to do right, to do the right thing, to respond the right way, okay, to receive it the right way, versus saying so that you, because sometimes if we receive something the wrong way, we're going to respond the wrong way. And sometimes we heard something that wasn't necessarily what was said. And so this is why even at church, we have to be able to operate and walk with the right mindset. So we don't walk out because with the spirit of offense and offended by something that there was nothing offensive by what was said. Now, go to, look at you guys, yes. Somebody cut the air back on, just flick it. Go to Exodus. You can't do it. You stuck over there, girl. You in there. You in there. Let's flick it a cool. Okay. Thank you. You did a good job. Okay, very good. I heard the click. God is good. Okay, are we in Exodus? I did not say. Go to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus 1. When you get there, go to verse number 8. Bible trivia. What is the Bible? What's the Bible book before Exodus? Wow, breakthrough. Good job. All right. So that means Genesis is the what book of the Bible? Exodus is what? All right, very good. Okay. Are we in Exodus chapter 1? Let's go to verse number 8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. So that means there was a previous king who knew Joseph. Verse number 9, and he said unto his people, behold, the people of children of Israel are more and mightier than we. This king recognized that the people had grown to a point that they had outgrown the king's army. He says they are mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them. Let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. It says, or they will multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. He was letting them know, we are not equipped to be able to handle them. We don't want them joining in with any other army, lest we would lose. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom, Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because the children of Israel... Excuse me, they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. And in their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shephrah and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. 17, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. 22, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast in the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. Let's go to chapter number 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the riverbank, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Now, continually reading, this baby, this little baby, this little child was being moved by the water. He was then taken by the daughter of Pharaoh. So where Moses was born, Moses could not stay. Where Moses was created, Moses could not stay. She looked upon the child and saw goodness in this child. And she made sure that what was in the child was preserved. It's very interesting because the Israelites were an enslaved minority. They continuously grew in numbers despite the charge by the new Pharaoh to kill all the male babies. Moses was born an Israelite, but raised eventually as an Egyptian. It's interesting because the story of Moses is like a lot of the children of God. You grow up, or you're born one way with goodness in you. You're raised a different way to eventually become who you were called to be. So many of us continue to talk about where we were born and how we grew up and how rough it was, but those things that was done or had to happen for an intention of the better half of your ministry to be able to save others that was in bondage of things that you were once bondage of. Moses needed to be born one way, raised another, in order to understand both customs and to be able to speak to both groups, the enslaved and the privileged. It's important for us to understand that some people in here, you grew up not well to do. But you needed to grow up not well to do so that as things happened in your life and God grew you up, you were able to be able to speak to that same group, to be able to help them understand that they don't have to stay the way that they are. And they could not only look at you, but they could understanding because of the calling on your life and the anointing of God that he placed on you, that you're able to speak to them, and they just don't hear it individual, but they hear the anointing that is on you. It's important to get this because why are we talking about this right now? It's important because Moses was called to be something that he was. What do you mean? Moses was called to be the deliverer. But the deliverer had to be delivered. You can't become something until that has happened to you. You can't break the yoke of something until that yoke has been broken off of your life. So many of us want to keep crying or stay in a predicament of where we are because of where we came from. Yes, what they put on the little baby was bad, but they had to put, as God had me digging deeper, she had to put the bushes around him and the animal stuff on him because as he's floating, they had to be able to see something floating. They had to smell something as he's floating, and it couldn't look cute. Moses could not look like an adorable wrapped baby, or he would have been seen immediately. So they had to cover him with things that wasn't conducive to who he was, but it was as a protection. And some of you, that you felt that you've gone through things, you felt like you've been dabbed with stinky stuff. I mean, come on. Some of you have dealt with some stinky stuff. Come on now, I don't cuss. You got to work with me here. Okay, you felt like I've been putting up with some stinky stuff. It starts with S. Come on now, that's all I can do. You know, and so they wrapped, it was wrapped with it. They put that on him to get him to a place that could prepare him for who he really was. It wasn't to make him who he was, because he was already that, but he had to grow into something. Right. And he had to grow into his calling. Amen. He had to be groomed into his calling. Yeah. And so some of you said that, well, I didn't have a father or I didn't have a mother. You know what you were? You were delivered. We're delivered. God delivered you from that. And he had you to move on. And he had other people waiting for you to be those things for you as Moses. See, we say, well, you know, I'm not into the church stuff anymore because I had a pastor and that pastor used me, took advantage of me. Okay. Then God, you dealt with some stinky stuff. But then God had you to keep going on in the river because he had another pastor waiting for you that just wanted to help you in your grooming for you to be who you were called to be. Like, I never had this type of parent. Well, I promise you, if you really desire it, once you got to go to God first, because God says he'll be the father to the fatherless and the mother to the motherless. He doesn't want you going to a human first. He wants you coming to him first so he can love on you as mama and daddy never could. Equip you and show you what real love is. And then he will turn over a human that can give you some of those nurturing qualities that you want to have. But don't try to skip God to get it. Go to him first and then he'll give you the right ones. That'll be that father figure to you. That'll be that mother figure to you. That figure, but not the person, because God wants to inhabit all of those things. Yes. Amen. Are you getting this? It's important. I got about 10 minutes and I got to get out of here because it's time for me to eat. It's important to understand. My stomach growling. Don't want the microphone to pick it up. It's important to understand. Plus, I ate late last night. Anytime I eat late last night, I wake up hungry. Let me do my thing first. You already had your time to preach Wednesday. It's my time first. Okay, first lady. Boo-ba-doo. We okay? Okay. See how I acted tough? Yeah, I acted tough, and I was like, we good? All right. All right. So it's important. I need us to get this. In this whole the thing of Moses, God wants you to be able to be flexible enough to understand it was necessary. To be flexible enough spiritually to say it was necessary. Why did I have to go through that? It was necessary. Because without that, I wouldn't have the mental fortitude that I have today.
Amen.
If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't know how to handle opposition. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be able to stand on my own at times and trust God, because God was with me then. I didn't know it then, but as I found out, God was with me, and I found out that thing had to happen. That person had to leave me because I was dependent on that person a little bit too much. That person had to say no to me because they weren't my mother anymore. They were starting to be my God. I was looking for them to be my savior, and there's only one of them, and his name is Jesus. And because God is a jealous God, he can't have that person that was your pastor, but also your prophet and also your intercessor. God was like, wait a minute, that person has too many roles in your life. They're infringing on me now. That person that you had to go to them and ask them everything before you do anything, and ask them, you hearing anything before you do anything? God, like, wait a minute. They are. You were doing everything in order, but they were infringing on his authority. And God says, there's too much that I need you to do for you to be dependent on one individual. Because that individual is infringing now on my power. So now I'm going to have to break up some things from you and them so that you know I am God. I'm God all by myself. So those things, some of those things were necessary. Some of those hurts were necessary. Some of those, it didn't happen. Let me say, God never wants us to have horrible breakups with people. His intention is for us to have horrible fallouts with people, but it is God's intention sometimes for us to have separation, from people. But sometimes it becomes horrible because either us or them don't want to release it. And then it becomes tumultuous. I want to get ready to end this. By saying sometimes God will have you to spend time with people just to learn their ways. Not for you to adopt them permanently or as your own, but to learn their ways. Sometimes you've gone through different things in life just to be able to learn. Like, there used to be a time I used to say, oh, I know church. Because I was churched for so long, going to different churches. But then God had to show me, how do you know church when I'm the church? And you haven't seen it yet the way I want it done, and that's why I'm calling you to be a pastor of this church, to show you how to show who I am in church, so that all of us churched people can become unchurched of thinking that's just what church does. Amen. Sometimes people leave here and say, but wait a minute, how come we didn't do this or this? And that? Because we were churched and we just assumed what that was. And then we said at the very end, you know, we said, okay, it was time for tithes and offering. You're like, wait a minute, this is the only time you're going to collect something? Like, well, yeah. And you're like, and then that's it? You're like, yes. You mean to tell me pastor didn't put out his finger, we had to kiss the ring? No. Sometimes you have to learn the ways of people because that's part of your journey. I want to say this in my closing. Because you said, Pastor, you didn't give a title. Well, if I have to put a title on this thing, I'm going to entitle this, I'm Moving On. Because there has to get to a point that in my journey, I've had to deal with some stinky things. In your journey, you had to deal with some stinky things. But without that, you wouldn't know how to stand on what you know as far as how effective God is in your life. You wouldn't be able to stand on how good God is without dealing with that, without going through that. You wouldn't trust God like you trust God if you didn't go through that. When that person left you or lied to you and said they'd always be there, or whatever the case may be, and all the plans that you made and all the things that you thought and all the abandonments and all of this, God was with you. And some of you never recognized it was God that was saying it's going to be okay. It was God whispering in your ear telling you not to end it. It was God when you were in a room all by yourself and you were ready to take all of those pills and you took one less than when it took you out. Or you had that razor, but you didn't drink enough water so you couldn't get the good vein. The stories that I have talked to about people and the many attempts that people have made to try to take themselves out, and yet they couldn't do it. That makes you recognize who he is. What do you mean? Because He couldn't let you go.
That's right.
Because whether you know it or not, you're one of the chosen. And he keeps telling you that not only that you're going to be okay, but you haven't seen anything yet. You are in preparation for the joy, the unspeakable joy that God wants for you. Who is in here that you have felt like you've suffered most of your life? If you're in here, stand. I have a word for you from God. I have a word from God. He said, you tell my children who are standing that I am with thee, that I would never leave you, I would never forsake you. I sent my son to walk, to be an example into this world. But I also had my son to walk this earth like Moses, learn the ways of my people so that he can sit next to me on my right hand and intercede for me, knowing the things that you go through, knowing the trials and tribulations that you would go through, knowing the attacks that you would go through, knowing the lies, knowing the abandonment that you feel. He says, you think my son didn't feel abandoned? He says, even in his greatest time when he needed his disciples, those that he chose to be with him, they all were asleep when he needed somebody to pray for him. None of them were up. None of them were able to stand in the time when people were coming to get him. Those that he trained slept. So God says, I understand your suffering through my son. And my son sits next to me to always intercede on you because he went through it. Those that standing, he says, if you decide to move on and let me be your guide and God, the latter shall be greater. But you have to decide if you're willing to let go of the bondage, because that anger and that pain and that unforgiveness is keeping you from receiving my joy. He says, I know you've been hurt. I know you felt abandoned. I know you felt cast aside. I know you felt misunderstood, set up, left alone. And God says, but your ladder shall be greater if you let me be your guide and God. From this moment on, let me show you, like Moses, that it's not about what happened in the past, but what I'm calling you to in your future. He says, I don't want you to have to fake that you're happy. I don't want you to fake like you have joy. I don't want you forcing yourself to smile when there's pain on the inside. Because only me, the healer, can heal you from that pain. Those that standing, if you want to release it and you want to truly give it to God and let him, like a doctor when you go to the hospital, when you have your surgery, after surgery, do you get up off the bed and go back home and everything is fine? Or is there a thing that you have to recover from the surgery that was done on the inside? There's a process to this thing. He said, if you let me deal with the pain, deal with the hurt, go to those targeted areas, if you let me be that spiritual surgeon, I promise you, you'll be restored. You'll be revised again. The pain will be gone, because I will take it from you and help you live without the anger. But you got to give it to me. The pain, you got to give it to me. The resentment, you have to give it to me. You have to be able to forgive so that I can give unto you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today.